We're on Daf Mem Amud Beis, three lines down from the top, V'al Kulam. And this is the end of the Mishnah, back on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, V'al Kulam, Im Amar Shakol Ni Bidvar Yotza. So whatever you ate on any foodstuff, if you b'dievid made a Shakol Ni Bidvar Yotza, this is the Bracha Koleles that covers every Maichol. And the Gemara quotes Machlokas now, is it mean Al Kulam literally, Itmar? Rav Huna Amar, Chutz Min HaPasu Min HaYayin. There are two foodstuffs that are the exceptions because the Chazal Koveya, because of the Chashivus, a separate bracha, and that bracha must be recited. Rav Yochanan Amar, Afilu Pas V'Yayin. He was Yotzi Dechova with a Shahakol, even on Pas and Yayin. And the Gemara wants to now the Gemara wants to suggest that this machlokes with another machlokes are interdependent. There's a matching here. It's really a machlokes tanoim. Now, this machlokes tanoim, which we're about to learn now, is based on a tosefta in the fourth perek that addresses the issue of whether or not you have to recite a bracha with a formal structure as Chazal established it. And let's learn Rabbi Meir Shita first. Ra pas, v'yomar, kamen no pas zu, baruch hamakom shebra'a. He blesses God for creating the pas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the makom. He's Makomo Shel Olam. And usually, when we use the word Makom, we refer to Hashem Benistar, meaning God is hidden. In this particular context here, Hashem's name as Makom refers to God Begolui, that God created the world. So I'm thanking God for creating the world. And this might be similar to Rabbi Yochanan, that Shehakol Nia Bidvaro means that everything was created by God. And it's almost a Kal V'chomer. If Rabbi Meir says that Yotza, he fulfills his Chovas Bracha, just by saying, thank you God for creating this bread, then Kal V'chomer, if he says Shehakol Nia Bidvaro, that everything that you created, God, is certainly a valid Bracha. He was Yotzi his Chova, Yotza. Rata Eina, Rav Meir gives a second option, one of the Sheva Minim. He sees a fig, V'omar kama no ta'ena zu baruch ha-mokom shebra'a yotza, divrei Meir. So we have this general kind of thanking God, and Rabbi Meir says that even though it doesn't fulfill what we call the Matveya Shetavu Chachamim, nevertheless, he was Yotze. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kalam Shanami Matveya Shetavu Chachamim, the Brachos, Lo Yotze Dechovaso. Rabbi Yossi takes a strict view about the structure and the formula of Chazal in Brachos, and any switch, any change from the Matveya as Chazal established it, Lo Yotze. So Gemara says, Nema, shall we suggest the Rav Huna, who says that when it comes to Pas and Yayin, you have to recite the specific bracha, and if you say Shahakal, you are changing the Matbeah. That's Rabbi Yossi, who has the strict view, and he requires the Matbeah. Rabbi Yochanan Diomar, Ki Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan fits very beautifully with Rabbi Meir. As we said, it's almost the Kal V'chomer. If Rabbi Meir says, Baruch HaMokom, Baruch Shebra'a, and that's enough, then for sure he was Yotze. Now, the obvious question here, everybody asks, is that the connection here between Rav Papa and Rav Yossi is a little bit of a loose connection here, because Rav Huna is honed in on two specific brachos, on two specific foodstuffs, Pas and Yayin. He wasn't Yotze with Shahakal, but Rav Huna agrees to the principle that Shahakol is a bracha kolelis that'll cover all macholim, even though it's Mishanah Mimatbeah Chachomim. So how could the Gemara say that Rav Huna reflects the Shita of Rav Yossi, who would allow in all cases, who would disallow, in all cases, whatever bracha of Kol HaMishana. And if you take a look at the Pnei Yoshua, he suggests that although it's true that Rav Huna holds like Rav Yossi, that Kol HaMishana is lo yotza, but in the case of Shahakol, on other macholim, except for pas v'yayin, that's not called mishana minusach habrocha, because although l'chatchila Chazal established brochas on peiros, for example, or eitz or pri adama, in the case of vegetables, etc., as the pasuk says with regard to bikurim l'kachta mireishis kol pri adama, or in Meiser it says kol Meiser it's mizera ha'aretz mipri ha'eitz, so that. That is the takana l'chatchila, but nevertheless, the bracha of Shahakol is also a valid matbea shetovu chachamim bibrachos. So that not only is birchas ha'eitz or birchas ha'doma considered a matbea, but even birchas Shahakol is considered a matbea which has a kloliastika, all-encompassing meaning, significance for many different meaning. So that even in the case of Peros, Chazal were mesakin a bracha kolelis. It's a bracha kolelis for mine Peros, but Shahakol is even a greater bracha kolelis. You have a smaller circle and a larger circle. However, in Pasen Yayin, there, when the Chachomim set up not a bracha kolelis, but a bracha pratis, that's specific to Pas and specific to Yayin, right? Hamotzi lechem in Aris. Or Bari Priya Gofen, so then Shahakol, which is a bracha klolis, and it's not a bracha pratis, not a bracha misuyemes, that's already considered Mishana Mimatbea Chacham. Omer Lecha Rav Huna, not the Amri Afilu L'Rabbi Meir. I can square off even with Rabbi Meir. Ad Kan Lo Kam Rabbi Meir Hosom. Rabbi Meir only said this. That kamenor pazu or kamenor te'enazu, that's valid. Elahech deka midkar shmei de pas or shmei de te'ena. Once he mentions the name of the food, whether it's pas or te'ena, that makes it into a bracha misuyemis. And even though he was meshanim atbeach chachomim, nevertheless, Rabbi Meir holds Yotza, and even Rav Huna would say Yotza. Why does Rav Huna object to Shahakol Diyah Bidvarav, Alhech Deloka Midkar? He doesn't mention, it's interesting, the word Midkar in Aramaic is Zocher, because the Dalet in Aramaic substitutes, replaces a Zion in Lashon Kodesh, is Lo Midkar Shmei De Pas. He didn't mention the Shem Pas. Is then Afilu Rabbi Meir Moda, even Rabbi Meir would hold that he's not Yotze. So that a bracha of Shahakol, Moda Rabbi Meir, Shalom Yotze, because he doesn't mention anything. So it's such a bracha kolelis. And the Chiddush of Rabbi Meir is that if he thanks Hashem with his own personal nusach, self-authored, but it does have the name of the foodstuff he's eating, then he's Yotze. One could ostensibly argue that the Gemara in the Teretz, in the Dechia, is backtracking on its original understanding of Rav Huna. As we saw in the Pnei Yoshua, originally the Gemara understood in Rav Huna that the problem with Shahakol Nia Bidvaro is that it's a bracha kolelis, whereas pas and yayin require a bracha pratis. In other cases, like bor priya eitz and bor priya adama, those are also bracha klolios. They don't mention the specific min, and therefore Shakal Nivra is just a wider circle, as we said, and it's more, it's a bracha kolos that's even greater, but it's vis-a-vis Yayin and Pas, the Chazal required a bracha protis. That was the Pnei Yeshua's thesis. Now the Gemara seems to be assuming that there's no issue here about Mishana Matbeah Chachamim, Shetavu Chachamim Baracha. Even Rav Huna could adopt Rav Meir's position. All we need is the name of the specific food in order to be Yotzei in the cases of Pas and Yain. Again, we are accepting that principle of the Pnei Yoshua and Rav Huna that you need in the cases of Pas and Yain something very, very specific. And it's not enough just to thank Hashem. For other foodstuffs, you just have to thank Hashem in a more general fashion, and therefore Shakal Nibidvaro doesn't require, just like Priya Eitz or Priya Dub doesn't require the name of the food. The real shift here between the Havamin in way the Gemara originally understood Rav Huna and the Maskana is whether or not Rav Huna is committed to the principle of Kol HaMeshana Mimatbeah Chachomim Bibrocha. And now we're saying that no, we don't need a Matbeah Chachomim. Even Rav Huna agrees. What we need is a Bracha Pratis in these two cases of Pas and Yayin. And he says that even Rabbi Meir, who has a Shinui, he accepts a Shinui in Matbeah and he validates it, but nevertheless, in Pas and Yayin, he needs Haskaras Hashem, the Shem Min, the Shem Ochel, in order to achieve a Bracha Pratis, which was established in these two cases. Back to the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Omar, Amalcha Anoti Amri, I could square off even Afilu L'Rav Yossi, Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rav Yossi, Hasam Elam Yishum Dika Amar Bracha, Dilo Tiknu Rabbanon, Aval Omar Shakol Ni Abidvar Zetakin Rabbanon, Afilu Rav Yossi Mode. So Rav Yossi just disagrees in the principle of Mishana. Notes he absolutely requires a matbeah shel bracha, and therefore Rav Yossi would be ma'asher. He would affirm this the validity of shakal nivivar, because shakal nivivar is a matbeah shel tavu chachamim. The argument of the objection of Rav Yossi to this self-authored tefillah or bracha is because it doesn't fit the pattern of matbeah shel tavu chachamim. So at this point, the Gemara has rejected the tlut, the interdependence of these two issues, and basically Rav Huna could square with both shitas in the Tanoim, and so to Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara tells us a story about a person who was mevarech in his own nusach. Binyamin Raya, he was a shepherd. Karach Rifta, he ate a pas, the Omri declared, Brich Mori Dahai Pita, Baruch Adon Shel HaPas. Omar Rav said, Yotza, he fulfills his chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon. So we're talking now about a bracha le'achreha. Until now we're talking about the bracha Lifanel. So the Gemara says, how is it possible that Rav says is Yotzei with Brich Morei the High Pita? V'ha'amar Rav kol bracha she'ein ba'az kar she'im eino bracha. Rav holds that you must mention the name of Hashem, and without it, it doesn't constitute a valid bracha. Again, he says you don't need two shemos, Hashem Elokeinu, but you do need one shem. And the Gemara answers regarding Binyamin Raya, the Omer, since he said Brich Rachmana de Mari Dai Pita, and he mentioned the name of Hashem, and he said Brich Rachmana. Rachmana is the name of Hashem. It's a kinui for Hashem. And even a kinui, the Gemara's Mechadish, is called Hazkaras Hashem. Now, the status of a kinui has to be analyzed in the light of the laws of Shvua, for example, would it constitute a shame or, for example, the Isur of Shem Hashem Hashav. But basically, the Gemara right now thinks that Rachmana as a kinui is sufficient for Azkaras Hashem. Now, if you take a look in Or Chaim in Simon Kuf Samach Zayin, you'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, the Sifkat Nun Aleph, and the Shar Tzion and Beis, that you're not Yotzi Yehova in Bracha with Azkaras Kinuyim, and the only exception to that rule is Rachmana. And Rachmana is considered Azkaras Hashem. It's elevated to a special status. And the reason for this is that in Bavel, they used to call Hashem by the name Rachmana. And he suggests perhaps that even Elokeinu, if he didn't say Hashem, would be Yotzei, because Elokeinu is also Ragil. So that's the discussion in the Mishnah Berurah about certain Shemos that are more than just Kinuyim, but because of their use, they absolutely can replace the Shem Hashem. Now, this Gemara is very relevant to other halachas in terms, for example, of Tefillas HaDerech or Birchas HaGomel. There are certain cases where you're not sure whether you're chayv in a Birchas HaGomel or not. You know, was it a danger, was it not? And the question is, can you use just Rachmana and you would not violate Shem Hashem Lashav on the tzad that you're not chayv, but you would be Yotzei the Chiyuv Bracha because it does have a status of a kinui. So Ayin Shom. So the Gemara now objects, I don't understand, how can you be Yotzi Birkas HaMazon here, Vabein and Shalosh Brachos? We need Hazan, Birkas Haaretz Nodelcha, and we need Birkas Bonei Yerushalayim, that's the Ika Bracha. Okay, Bracha Revius is in Yavna, it was a separate Takana. But in this case, he didn't have three Brachos, so how could it be Yotze? So the Gemara answers, my Yotze to come a Rav. What did Rav mean when he said Yotze? Nami Yotze they Bracha Rishona. He's saying he was Yotze the Birkas Hazan. He still needs another two brachos. Now, let's just think. We have also, in the case of Hazan, a chasima. It opens with a baruch, and then it ends with a baruch. Baruch atah Hashem Hazan Sakol. So perhaps he should say, or maybe he did say, Brich Rachmana Moridai Pita, Brich Rachmana Don Kula, Hazan Sakol. That God should be blessed for everything. And that's the Rashba's view. That's what Binyamin Raya actually said. The Gemara doesn't mention this because the Gemara is using a short form, but in fact, he had a bracha that had Rachmana twice, in opening and in closing. Now, let's just point out that although the case of Binyamin Raya is a bracha chrona, he could be Yotze his bracha Rishona likewise with Brich Rachmana. And that's what the Rosh writes here. The Beis Yosef codifies this in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin. However, Rashi doesn't exactly say so. It could be that Rashi learns Bedavka that this Nusach of Brich Rachmana to Moridai Pita is something that's specifically related to Birchas Hazan. It's a hodah on Mazon. And therefore, he was Yotze, his Birchas Hazan, the first of the three brachos. But we're not sure exactly whether or not that would be a nusach that would be appropriate for a bracha Rishona. That might depend upon the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir that we learned earlier. Maikom Mashmalon, what is Rav coming to teach us when he says that Binyamin Raya was Yotzi de Chovas, the first bracha, as a Chovas Shvach? Afal Gav, the Omer V'loshen Chol, is the Chiddush here of Rav, that even though he didn't use a Nusach of Loshen Kodesh, because this phrase comes from Aramaic, nevertheless, he's Yotzi de Chova. And it's interesting because Rav said that even a person who's Mevarech, in his own Nusach, he was Yotze. And Rav is coming to teach us that we paskin like Rabbi Meir. And even though it's Mishana Mimadbea, and if you go back to Rabbi Meir, you assume that Rabbi Meir would hold that in any language, if it was Mashana, as long as he thanks Hashem, that should be sufficient. So it's not clear why the Gemara says my kamashbalon, as if to say that Rav didn't teach us anything. I mean, certainly Rabbi Yossi would reject this Nusach HaBracha. In any event, the Gemara suggests the following question. Tanina, we have a Mishnah in Masechtas Sota, Elu Ne'amarim B'chol Lashon, and the Mishnah enumerates an entire series of Krios that can be recited in any language, and you don't need Lashon Kodesh. And on the list, besides Parashas Sota, which means that the Hashpa'as HaKohen, when the Kohen is Mashbiah, that she didn't commit adultery as we suspect her, then he says that Shvua in any language that she understands, Vili Maser, at the time of Vili Maseros, you read a Kriya, that's called Vili Maseros, and that's a strange kind of a vidui in the sense that he's not admitting any faults, any failings, but rather he's being misvada that he asisi kachol asher tzivisani. But anyway, kriyachma, he doesn't have to say in Lashon Kodesh, just in any language he understands. Utfila and shmon esrei brachos v'chein birkas hamazon. So we see explicitly in the Mishnah that you can recite Birkas HaMazon in any language, even in Lashon Chol, in a vernacular, so that basically Rav seems to be reiterating what we know from the Mishnah. If Rav's Chiddush is that you can recite a bracha and biyotze even in Lashon Chol, we have that already codified in the Mishnah Itzrich. Rav has a Chiddush here. Salka dait ramina hani mili di omra b'Lashon Chol ki heich tetakin rabbanon. The Lashon Kodesh, in other words, if he's translating the bracha, it's a tirgum bracha from Lashon Kodesh to Lashon Chol. That's what the Mishnah says. He's yotze avalo amora b'Lashon Chol ki eichin takinu rabbanon in the Lashon Kodesh. If he is not just translating the Lashon Kodesh into Chol, but rather he's authoring his own formulation, ema lo. Now, I don't know what the ema lo is. Is the ema lo is, I might think the halacha is like Rav Yossi against Rabbi Meir, possibly. But in any event, a self-created Nusach HaBracha, according to this Havamin, is not sufficient, and it's not valid. Kamash Malon, Rav says no, he can create a bracha in any Nusach whatsoever. Now, on this list we have Sota. Let's just quickly go through the list. As we said before, after Kinyan and Stira, the din is she's asur labayla unless she drinks from Meim Arorim. We take the Beis Hamikdash, and the Kohen is mashbia her, and that could be even in Lashon Chol. We spoke about Vidi Maisrus, which is in the fourth and the seventh year in the minion of the cycle of the Shemitah years. On Chag HaPesach, it's a mitzvah to be mavayer all the matonos of Zeroyim, and after the beer, he's misvada in front of Hashem. As it says in Parashas Ki Tov, it says, Ki tichle liaseres kol masar tu asech liamart lufnei Hashem ka biarti ha-kodesh min habayis. And that's the vidui that is recited on Maisers in the Mincha of the last Yontif, the last day of Yontif of Pesach. Now, in all these cases listed here, for example, it says, Kriyat Shema Tefila Berkas HaMazon, the poskim say that l'chatchila mitzvah na-muvchar is to read them in Lashon Kodesh. The Mishnah is only saying, and that's how we paskin, that b'dieved you can be yotze in any language. The Gemara in Sota explains that tefillah is bakoshes rachamim, and therefore he can be makayim rachmininu in any language that he understands. However, the Gemara seems to be machalik there between the tzibur and the yochid, that a yochid does have to be mispal in Lashon Kodesh. The Gemara in Sota, with regard to Birkas HaMazon, quotes the pasuk V'achalta V'savata V'erachtas Hashem Elokecha, and in Darshan's B'chol Lashon Shata Mivarech. And since the Torah was not koveya a specific Lashon, you could be Mivarech in any language, Tosus there in Sota explains that since he's coming to Mivarech Hashem, he can be Mivarech in any language that he understands, because the Iker Kiyum is Balev. It's a Kiyum Shebalev that he should have a leif sholem to be mevarech, and if he uses a language that he doesn't understand, that's not a leif sholem. And so too, in Kriyat Shema Tefillah, the Iker Kiyum is belev. It's a Kiyum Avodisha belev, a Kiyum of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and the main thing is that he understands what he's reading. Gufa. The Gemara now goes back to Rav. Omar Rav, Kol Bracha Shein Ba'az Karas Hashem, Ein of Bracha, Rav Yochanan. Omar, Rav Yochanan disagrees. It's not enough to mention the shame of Hashem, but rather, Rav Yochanan Omar, Kol Bracha Shein Ba, Malchus, Ein of Bracha. We need Malchus Hashem. And it's not enough to just mention Shem Hashem. You have to also mention that God is the King, He's the Melech. So we have a machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Is Haskaras Malchus Hashem critical in a bracha? Rabbi Yochanan admits, he accepts Rav's principle that Haskaras Hashem is definitely critical, but he's adding another condition that even Malchus Hashem is critical, is ma'akeves. And a bracha without Malchus Hashem is not a bracha. And Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Yochanan derives this from a pasuk in Tehillim, Aromimcha Elokei HaMelech V'avorcha Shimcha Li'olam Vo'ed. So Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav. Now, if we go back to the case of Brich Rachmana Mori Dahai Pita, which we said, according to Rabbi Meir, and Rav accepts Rabbi Meir, he's Yotzei, is Rabbi Yochanan would say he wasn't Yotzei, because Brich Rachmana Mori Dai Pita has no mention of Malchus. He's gonna have to add Brich Rachmana Malka Mori Dai Pita. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Abai Kavosi de Rav Mistabra Tisanya. Abai wants to quote a brisa that would support Rav Shita, which would mean that some have the gears of the snan here, which would mean that all you need is Haskar Sashem. And the Brisa addresses the requirement of Bir Maisers and quotes the Pasuk, Lo Avarti mi mitzvosecha velo shachachti. Lo Avarti, says the Brisa, mi levarechecha. I recited the bracha as was established for the mitzvah of Maaser. And interesting, this would seem to support that brachos in Adoraisa, unless this is just an asmachta. V'lo shachachti mi lahazkir shimcha olav. What does it mean, lo shachachti? I haven't omitted mentioning your name on the Maaser. V'ilu malchus lo katani. The Braisa doesn't have any ribui to require mentioning Malchus Hashem, so we should derive from this that Haskaras Malchus is not critical in a bracha. All you need is Haskaras Hashem, reflecting the Shita of Rav and against the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So Abaye's diuk from the Braisa, it's not absolutely convincing that the Braisa holds like Rav. We could explain the Braisa, as the Gemara is going to try to do, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, but l'chatchila, the Gemara understands that even if you omitted Melech HaOlam, you would be Yotzei. Now, the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni derives this from the drasha of Lo Shachachti Milvarechecha U'Milahazkir Shimcha Olav. And there are two different drashas. The first of Lo Avarti Milvarechecha is to teach you that you must have a bracha. Lo Shachachti tells you that the bracha requires Shem Hashem. And is Abaye's Iker al-Chacha from the fact that this Mishnah doesn't mention Malchus Shemayim? Iker Kavonas HaMishnah says that Tzlach is the drash of Lo Shachachti Milvarechacha. We might have thought that what the Tan is telling us is that you need Shevach Vodoya. So the Tana adds that Lahazkir Shimcha Olav tells you that your Hodah has to be a bracha mamish, and a bracha requires Shem Hashem. It's not just a general Hodah. So that if the Tana is really coming to teach me not the Chiyuv Haskaras Hashem, but to tell you in the fundamental principle that you require a bracha, it could be that the Tana of our Mishnah was makatzer, and he didn't go into all the details about Azkaras HaBracha, and maybe possibly Malchus would also be critical. But the Brice has two drushos. And from the fact that the Brice has two drushos, darshaning the Reish of the Pasuk, the Seif of the Pasuk, that seems to indicate that the Brice is not just telling me in general that you need a Hodah, but rather the Brice is telling me specific requirements in what is critical and indispensable in the Bracha. And therefore, if Malchus was critical, it should have been mentioned in the Brisa. But the Gemara now defends Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, Tni, we should learn in this Mishnah, in this Brisa, Velo Shachachti Milahazkir Shimcha Umalchuscha Olav. Which means that he has to mention also Malchus, and Shimcha Malchuscha, it sounds like even Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav, as we said earlier, that you need Shimcha as well. Rabbi Yochanan is only adding Malchuscha. Now again, the word Tni usually is appropriate for a Braisa, and Rabbi Yochanan is really being Magia a Braisa. However, the Rashba says that Omar Lecha, we don't have the words Omar Lecha, but the Rashba's Girsa was Omar Lecha. It means that the Tana is not a Mona Kerochel. It doesn't teach you all the requirements of Vidui Maaser. And we can add, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the Misvada has to mention Malchus as well. This leads us to the new Mishnah. I think it's the third Mishnah in this Perek. And the Mishnah addresses the question of reciting brachas on food that grows from the ground, and what about food that doesn't grow from the ground? Because until now we've mentioned Bar Pri Ha'etz, Bar Pri Adam, Al Davar She'en Gidulim in Ha'aretz, like for example eggs and meat, and we're going to talk about things like mushrooms that don't grow directly from the ground. Is Omer Shahakol Nia Bidvaro. So then we get to the bracha Hakoleles, which doesn't mention the Adama because these are not Giduim in Aretz. So for example, the Mishnah tells us ala chometz. Chometz means wine that's spoiled. And according to the Gemara that we learned back on Lamed Vav, when you have something that's not edible, you don't make a bracha at all. But the Mishnah tells us the din in the case of Birchas HaChometz, because in the case of this wine vinegar, wine that went sour and it has the status of chometz, it's not totally inedible. It can be drunk if you can derive some hanoas shtia. And the Gemara in Yuma says that Ashosim and Revius Biyom HaKippurim Chayev. So there is some element, as minimal as you can imagine, in drinking chometz of yayin. And therefore there is a bracha, but the bracha is not going to be the original bracha, even though it's edible. But in the case of yayin shehichmetz, instead of bari priya gofen, we're going to recite a shahakol nivivaro. It's going to fit into the general bracha. The Rashi says that we're talking about a chometz where if you add water to it, you dilute it, or you put it into some sort of a soup and combination of other taruvas, then you can possibly make it edible. And since he wants to drink it in that form, for example, it might help him relieve certain pains and so forth and so on, then he would recite a bracha, in this case, shakal nivivar. But if he drinks straight, undiluted yayin shehichmetz, then he would not make a bracha at all, even though it might be healthy, but we don't make a bracha on refuah, only on hanoas achila. The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, paskins that if you don't mix any mayim into it, it's pure chometz, then you do make a bracha of shahakol against the rosh. And now we have a second case, al hanovlos. Novlos are something that are fruits that sort of kamshu means they shriveled up because of the heat. They are left in the heat. And again, it's edible. You can buy, for example, novlos of cherry tomatoes, and you'll see they dried up tomatoes. And the Gemara at the conclusion is going to say that peros kamushim, dried up, shriveled up fruits, are called novlos, based on a pasuk v'yoleu lo yibol in Tehillim, and lo yibol means lo yikmosh. And then we get to al ha-govai. Govai are chagavim ksherim, and these kinds of grasshoppers or the like, which maybe there are a few Yemenites who still eat them, I don't know, but it's not gidula min ha-aretz. And even though the Mishnah has already established that, in a general sense, something that's not gidula min ha-aretz gets a bracha of shahakol or bracha kolelis, the Mishnah wants to give us this specific case of chagavim to teach us that according to Chachamim, you have to be mevarech aleihem against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's a min klola, and we don't make a brach at all. The Beis Yosef also reflects this shita. Rabbeinu Yonah, on the other hand, seems to write that chagavim is not a min klola at all, and even Rabbi Yehuda would require brach on them. And therefore, the din chagavim, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, was mentioned here in the Mishnah just derech agav, and it really doesn't have any chiddush at all. And the Mishnah mentions chometz and novlos and gavoy, perhaps to tell us another chiddush in each case. First, the Mishnah tells us chometz, that even though it's miskalkel, it's ruined, spoiled wine, nevertheless the Mishnah tells us that you make a bracha. The Mishnah's machadish said even novlos requires shahakol, even though it really wasn't so much roi lachila, but you can make it roi lachila. And then the Mishnah tells us chagavim, even though it's gorem hefseid gam lachirim, he says birchas shakol afal pi shu gorem hefseid gam lachirim biachilas hatvua, meaning that the chagavim sometimes attack the grains that are growing in the field. Now, what is a chagav tahor? For that, you have to learn Parashas Shmini. Es ela mehem tochlu, es ha'arba lemino, es ha'sla'am lemino, es ha'chagav lemineu, es ha'chagav lemineu. The Gemara tells us a clue in Samachayim and Beis that there are eight categories, species of chagavim. Four of them are mentioned explicitly in the Torah. There are another four that are included in the Ribli from the word leminehu, and the Mishnah gives us different simonim in Masechet Chulin as to which chagav matahorim. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that in addition to those simonim, it has to have a name chagav. And the Rosh says that we don't eat chagavim today unless we have a min that's called chagav. And the Taz says that today we don't eat any chagavim, even if we know that its name is chagav, because we're not bekiyim in the names. Is Omer Shakol Nia Bidvaro. So the Mishnah establishes on all the above, we recite Shakol Nia Bidvaro, Yehuda Omer Kolshu Min Klola Ein Mivarchin Olav. The word Klola and the word Miskalkel are very similar. I mean, the two Lamids are contiguous in the case of Klola, but Miskalkel, you have a kuf between the two Lamids. But in any event, we don't make a bracha neither on chometz, nor on novlos, nor on govai. These are all considered min klola. And what that means is that they're not very good. They were good when they were originally produced, but now they would miskalkil. And in case of chagavim, we call it a min klola because they're mazik the world. They eat the tvua in the soda. Rabbeinu Yonah says that in the name of Yesh Mefarshim, that a min klola in the case of our Mishnah means chometz and novlos, which were originally good and they were miskalkil, but in the case of gavoy, which are chagavim, they're in their natural state as they were created. That's not called a min klola. And even Rabbi Yehuda would be moda that you recite a shakol nivid varo on chagavim. The Rambam Pirushim Shnai seems to indicate that Chagavim, just like Novlos, is a min klola, but the Rambam seems to indicate that Chometz is not a min klola, and the language of the Mishnah Kol Shu min klola means that the Mishnah is not talking about all the cases mentioned in the Mishnah, the three examples, but rather that which is a min klola. Then the Mishnah continues, what happens if you have many different mini peros and you want to eat all of them? How you find a mini harve, a number of different minim of peros? The Gemara later on Daf Mem Aleph is going to explain what kind of mini peros you have that have the same bracha. Is Rabbi Yudah Omer Yesh Beinem Min Shiva, if amongst them there are peros that belong to the category called Shiva Saminim Olav Umavarech? No, it's even though he would rather have an orange than a date, he should make his bracha on a date, because, okay, or let's say a pomegranate, and the chashivas of Shiva Saminim trumps the chashivas of Chaviv. V'chachom omrim mevarech aleizim en sheyirtze, whatever min is Chaviv, and the Rabbanan seem at the surface to be, to ignore the concept of chashivas of Shiva Saminim. And it could be that the Chacham is saying in general that whenever you have a choice of which specific min to make the bracha, it's chaviv. That's the determining factor. Again, we had a whole sugya earlier about paschita and pasiora, and one was gadol, one was katan, but one was sholem. And chita itself has a significance because it says there is chita in the pasuk. And the question there also was whether or not we have certain chashivas, certain special categories that override what we call chaviv. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a brisa, al davar shein gidula min haaretz, on that which doesn't grow from the ground, kigon, besar behemos chayes v'yofus v'dogim, omer shahakol niya bidvarov, and so too, al chalav, on milk, which comes from the animal, the albeitzim, which comes from the animal, algvina, which is milk that curdled, omer shahakol, alpas sheipsha. Here's another category. Now, this is already the sefer, the brisa. The resha of the brisa are foodstuffs that don't grow from the ground. The sefer refers to foodstuffs that are no longer healthy in their, what I mean by healthy is meaning their original natural state. The pas began to spoil, yayin shehikrim, there's a process of fermentation that happened to the wine, it's beginning to get vinegary, and it has a krum on top, you could already see that it's beginning to be machmitz, and you have the simonim. This is a Gemara Bava Basra Tzadihei, that yayin shehikrim is yayin that begins to be machmitz, even though you could sell it in the marketplace, you're going to get a different price for it because it's no longer in its full, healthy, original state. And the price is telling us that in these cases where it's no longer in the original state, you recite a shahakol niya bidvaro. Al tafshil she'iber tsuroso, which means that as a result of the cooking, the taste of the tafshil has diminished, has decreased. Now, if it's miskalkel gamre, it's not roi lachila, then you don't make a bracha at all, but it's still edible, is omer shahakol, ala melach v'ala zamis, zamis is mei melach, what we call in Yiddish zaltzvas, which we use on Leil HaPesach, v'al kmeim u'pichios, these are types of mushrooms. I mean, we'll talk about kmeim in a few minutes, exactly what kmeim is, but omer shahakol. And it's very interesting, melach per se is not roi l'achila so much, and yet we do make a bracha on it. That's a big chiddush. Apparently, sometimes a person puts a little bit of salt into his mouth, and he enjoys the taste of salt, so he should make a bracha of shahakol. And some people want to, stir up their desire to drink something, so they put salt in their mouth. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that you only make a bracha of shakal and salt if you get some minimum hanah when he puts it into his mouth. then there's something called very, very heavy salt, which that's so salty that you would not benefit from putting in your mouth. In such a case, you would not make a bracha. And we said that zamis was mei melach, was zaltz vaser. This is based on Rashi back on Daf Lamed Vav. Rashi gives you a French word for it, shalmira, and the Bach says that that means mei melach. Rav Haigon is quoted as saying that zamis is haketzef ha'ole minakdera, that zamis is that whitish kind of substance that you'll see on the round inside of the kedera. And then we have the Aruch who says that zomis is soup based on the Greek word zomi. Now why did the Mishnah have to tell me what the brach is on Meimelach when the Mishnah has already told me that you make a bracha on melach? Why would I need, according to Rashi's interpretation of zomis, a special chiddush of Meimelach? It's only melach adding water to it, and water also is a shakol d'ibidvaro. So the Bach writes that if not for the Mishnah about mei melach, we would think that you don't make a bracha on melach at all. And when it says melach in the Mishnah, it's talking about mei melach. So that zomis is added here to separate melach from mei melach, to tell you that melach means melach, and it doesn't mean mei melach. Now, the truth is, I've been mentioning the Mishnah over and over again, but this melach and zamis is really a braisa. It's not a Mishnah. So let's put that out there. Now, pitrios, which are mushrooms, are a type of kmohin. So it could be that the word kmohin means is a kind of general term. And Rabbi Yonah writes, kmohim are mitsuyim tachas hakarka, you'll find them subterraneously, and he says nivroim mishuman ha'aretz. Pitrios are gadol on etzim, on avonim. You'll find them all over, these pitrios, but they're not subterranean, and therefore they're not called kmohim. It's interesting that some of the poskim identify kmohim as potatoes that grow below the ground. But that's kind of an untenable position, because that certainly would require borei pri adama. And some say that kmoim is a kind of a pre which looks like a potato, but it grows from yemei geshamim under the karka without zriya. There are no roots and there are no leaves. And in Arabic, there's a word kamaraya. In English, she says tarflas, truffles, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, are quite rare and they sell for a bomb of money. In any event, the Braisa mentions a whole list here, as we saw, of foodstuffs that require shahakol, and it doesn't mention all of them. It's lomona eskulam yachad. The Braisa really divides up into different categories. There's basa behemos, etc., that's shahakol, and then cholov and beitzim, shahakol. And every single type of machol is categorized in its own. It's possible that maybe the Tana wants to tell us these different categories. He writes, kama shmuos bedin birkas hamazon, I'm sorry, v'birkas shahakol, v'shanes kulam yachad v'braisa achas. But perhaps he heard it in that way. He heard each category in its own, and therefore he sets it up as different categories. In any event, the Mishnah has already told us that you make a shahakol on dovashein gidulim in ha'aretz. The Braisa is adding to the Mishnah by enumerating specific types of foodstuffs that you could have a suffix about. And the rice wants to tell you that, for example, cholov requires a shakol, and it's one of the brios. It comes from a birya, which is an animal that is gadol bin karka, but it doesn't have the din of gidulei karka. Gvina, even though you use sometimes things that grow from the ground in order to curdle the milk. Nevertheless, it's not called gedulei karka, and we don't determine the bracha by the mamid that sets up the curdling process. Beitzim, you make a shakal, even though beitzim were created without a zohar, but from hischamus ha'oretz. Nevertheless, it's not called gedulei karka. So if you take a look, Rav David Pardo, one of the great Italian rabbis of about four centuries ago, he writes a book on the Mishnah. It's called Shoshanim LeDavid. All his books are called David. And he writes a chiddush in each case that's mentioned in the Braisa. So the Gemara now analyzes this Braisa with regard to Kmoim and Pitrios. The Memra, shall we say, the Kmoim and Pitrios, Lav Gedulei Karka Ninu, they don't grow from the ground, and therefore you don't recite a Baruch Pri Adam, rather a Shakal Vasanya. We have a Braisa in the Dorim that had no der mi peres ha'aretz, also mi peres ha'aretz, u mutu b'kmoyim u pitrios, im omar, but if im omar kol gidule karka olai, osur af b'kmeyim u pitrios. So you see clearly that kmeyim and pitrios are included in gidule karka. So if he says kol gidule, notice most people when they say gidule karka, they don't refer, they don't have intention to include Kmeim upichas. But if he goes out of his way to say kol gedulei karka, then he's telling you kol gedulei karka, including kmeim and pitrios, because they grow from the karka, even though they're not called peres haaretz. But we see clearly from the braisa that they are gedulei karka, and that contradicts our braisa that says you make a shakal on kmeim and pitrios. Omar Abaye says, I can reconcile this contradiction and say the following. That mirba rabu me'arba, but minki lo yonki me'arba. That although it's true they grow from the ground, and therefore if he says in his neder, kol gidulei karka includes kmeim and pitrios, because they are gidulei karka in the sense that they gedelim in aretz, but enom yonki me'arba, they don't really suck up any of the nutrients from the ground like all other peros aretz, and therefore you don't make a bracha baruch pri adama, but rather shakol ni'abidvaro. So that Abaye makes a chiluk between something that grows in the ground as opposed to something that is nurtured by the ingredients of the ground. So it's gedelim al gabi karka, but yinikasam is not from the karka, but rather from the avir, the gedelim on top of stones and even pieces of wood. So the Gemara asks the following question, how can you tell me that kmeim and pitrios are gedelim in ha'aretz? And therefore they are included in the Lashon HaNeder of Gidulei Karka, Val Dover She'ein Gidulei Min Haaretz Ketani. The Braisa says explicitly, and this is the overall heading here that includes also Kmeim and Pitrios, Dover She'ein Gidulo Min Haaretz. That's what it says. So it seems that the Braisa is telling you Gidulo Min Haaretz. And the Gemara answers, Tni, you have to change the language here, and Al Dover She'eno Yonek Min Haaretz. That's where you say Shakal Nivadvaro. And then it includes Kmeim and Pitrios, which, although they are Gedele Min Haaretz, but you make a Shakal because they're not Yonek Min Haaretz. And therefore, we understand very well that we don't reject the words of Abaye because Kmeim and Pitrios are Gedele Min Haaretz, and therefore the Lashon of the Neder of Kol Gedulei Karka includes also Kmeim and Pitrios. The bracha would be a shakal because they're not Yonek Min HaKarka. And this leads us to a discussion about Novlos. And Amir Tz Hashem, in the next shiur, we'll talk about Novlos.